feel urgency. Time is staking out its claim. It could be.
Her album is called Urgency, and for Mary McCrae, it's personal.
The title cut was written after my son was diagnosed with an immune disease. When he was diagnosed and I walked out of the hospital, it was like all those feelings of, you know, 18 years of him being sick. And it's just kind of that double-edged sword. When you get a diagnosis, you're happy that you do. But on the other hand, you have that, you know, extreme sadness too, because it's the reality of both of those things.
Baby, all you've taught me from watching all your suffering is that destiny can turn in a moment's time.
So I came out to my car, and I always keep a pad and pen in my car for songwriting, and I wrote it all sitting there, and then it inspired just so many more songs over the course of the next few years.
Meet the singer-songwriter who won awards and then hit it big on adult contemporary radio on Toucan's comedy Club Indie.
I feel urgency. Time is staking out its claim. It could be you, it could be me next, just the same. The curtain could come falling and the end may soon be calling. Urgency is shouting out my name. How will I be left behind? If you go first, I can shine. We can see around the bend. Don't know when this road might end. Baby, I'm just bursting at the seams. Urgency.
Live from Chandler, Arizona, it's a special Cinco de Mayo edition of Toucan's Comedy Club Indy.
I don't know. Last year, didn't we do Cuatro de Mayo? Wasn't that much more fun?
Oh, man. Keep your head down. It's getting dangerous around here. And in tribute to the fine, hardworking men and women of the INS Border Patrol, we dedicate this episode. Keep your head down, I said. Jeez.
And a big shout out to the state of Arizona.
Yeah. Let's just keep passing those laws that everybody just seems to love.
Yeah. No profiling there. No, no.
For those of you who don't know, he's Ken.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so are you.
Yeah, we're two Kens. We're the people that do that other show, You Can't Make It Up.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, we've got a musical interview coming up in just a couple of minutes with Mary McCrae out in Denver, Colorado. She is, she set out to do an album about Americana and country I'll let her explain it to you. But she wound up with the hit cut off that album, that EP, becoming the number one largest requested tune on American contemporary radio. And so it's an interesting story of how she got from that point.
Yeah.
To there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I understand you've got some sort of, well, wait a minute, hang on 1 second. There's a waiter down there. I'm sorry. we're not your wait staff. I understand that.
I thought we curtailed service while we were doing our performance here. Is that how it works at the club?
Would you hang on 1 second? Would you get that gentleman another frozen margarita? It's on the house. And then he's got to climb up and get it, as a matter of fact. But
you know, there's one good attribute about Club Indy I don't think people realize is
what's that?
That we could never, ever be in danger of losing our liquor license.
No.
Because we don't have one.
I know. So what do you bring to the table today before we start talking to Mary?
This is one of those, I guess, dubious honors. I don't know whether to say congratulations to these folks or... Gee, I'm sorry to hear that. But anyway, you may have heard there are now two new inductees into the New Jersey Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Jack Nicholson and Danny DeVito. You see, right away, you proved my point.
Who knew?
New Jersey Hall of Fame. I mean, it sounds like an oxymoron.
I know.
But, I mean, you know, by the way, you know all the demographics and the statistics on our listenership. Do we have any listeners in New Jersey?
Used to.
Well.
Yeah, they're doing 10 to 15.
Yes. Yes, Danny DeVito and Jack Nicholson were inducted into the New Jersey Hall of Fame. Now, you know, keep in mind, this is a state for one of its major cities, Newark, had the following to boast about, as reported in the USA Today. And that is, in Newark, for the first time in 44 years, they did not record a single homicide during a full calendar month. They went a whole 32 days in Newark without a homicide, and they're bragging about it.
And that's something you'd notice in Newark,
yeah.
You know.
We made it through the month.
Yeah.
Come on down.
No dead people.
I can see that on the cover of the Newark Chamber of Commerce brochure.
Yeah.
32 days without a homicide.
Yep. I had something here. That, across the pond.
Across the pond.
Have you seen this story? It was in the London Times, and it's gotten, well, it's become a huge, it's gone viral, as the kids say, on Twitter and elsewhere. It's called Yakka Wow. Did you hear about it?
Yakka Wow.
Yeah, well, it came from somebody that was misunderstood. They were misquoted, and it took off, and it became a cottage industry. Let me just tell you what happened. There was an interview back in April in the London Times with the neuroscientist Baroness Greenfield, and she was concerned that excessive playing of computer games and using social networks like Twitter, etc., would stop the malleable brains of young people developing as they should. And she said, quote, this is what the Times said, she said, it's not going to destroy the planet, but is it going to be a planet worth living in if you have a load of breezy people who go around saying Yakka Wow? Is that the society we want? Well, within 24 hours,
yeah,
Google had 75,000 results for Yakka Wow, a Twitter stream, a page on Facebook, mugs, T-shirts. It's become a personal philosophy. I think, therefore, I Yakka Wow. It led to the, I'm not making this up, it led to the creation of the virtual first church of the Yakka Wow. Now, here's the problem.
What? Wait a minute, there's a problem with that?
Yeah, what Baroness Greenfield really said was, yuck and wow.
Uh-huh.
That's a derogatory comment about the limited emotional range and vocabulary of Twitter users. Well, it took off. So you can get your own Yakka Wow T-shirt. You can probably send an email to the First Church of Yakka Wow, and they'll ordain you so you can marry other Yakka Wowers. It's you can't make this crap up.
Now, Baroness who?
Greenfield.
Baroness Greenfield. Now, that doesn't that sound a little odd?
It sure does.
I mean, I grew up with, you know, Jewish American princesses, but not a baroness.
Well, fortunately, there are people out there scratching their heads who have never heard this before going, so when does the comedy come?
Yeah, well, you know, they're regular listeners who say the same thing.
So we're going to dispense with that nonsense, and we're going to go right to our interview with Mary McCray out in Denver, Colorado.
On love's breeze, I'm sailing. Catch me and I won't fall alone.
Her newest album and the cutoff of that, called Breeze, became the number one most added single in the country to adult contemporary radio, right alongside people like, oh, I don't know, Taylor Swift. This is Mary McCray, and she's out near Denver, Colorado, and she's joining us right now on Club Indy. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Ken 1 and Ken 2, right?
That's right. You got it right. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Our first name's a lot easier to pronounce than...
I know. I'm telling you. It's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be awfully excited with the way your new album, Urgency, and that hit off of it, Breeze, the way they have been received by the public.
I really am, and... Urgency, the title cut was written after my son was diagnosed with an immune disease, so I'm really excited. It's kind of taken my music in a whole new venture, and I'm really, really excited for what it's doing with connecting me to the medical community, you know, and health issues, so it's pretty neat.
How long has your son been afflicted with this?
About 2 years. But he's had issues, you know, since he was born. It just took 18 years to get a diagnosis, which is just crazy. And, you know, he could have had a lot more quality life if we got one sooner, but that's the way that it goes. So when he was diagnosed with, he has common variable immune disease, and he was diagnosed 2 years ago at National Jewish Hospital here in Denver. And when he was diagnosed and I walked out of the hospital, it was like all those feelings of, you know, 18 years of him being sick, and it's just kind of that double-edged sword. When you get a diagnosis, you're happy that you do, but on the other hand, you have that, you know, extreme sadness too, because it's the reality of both of those things. So I wrote Urgency. Actually, I came out to my car, and I always keep a pad and pen in my car for songwriting, and I wrote it all sitting there, and then it inspired just so many more songs over the course of the next few years. Breeze, the single from that hit adult contemporary music, or radio, excuse me, is a little different than the rest of the cuts on the album, in that we were planning to make the album real Americana when we produced it, and a lot of it is, but Breeze just happened to be so perfect. Like the first two cuts, we cut it just as the whole band in Nashville, and we didn't change anything in it. It was just wild. It was one of those just magical moments where everything was so perfect on it, and went back, my producer and I, and listened to it going, oh, should we change all these electric guitars? Because our aim was really for Americana radio, which they don't embrace that, you know, contemporary sound as much. Like, you know, I mean, some people could argue that with it, but I see Americana and my experience with it is like they love the wood instruments and everything, the more of a raw kind of sound. And so we just went, oh, we've just got to leave this. It's so perfect. So I really had to seek out different avenues to promoting the record. And it just so happened that Tom Mazzetta heard Breeze and, you know, called me. And he does, way back, you know, did radio PR for Stevie Wonder, Shania Twain. He does it for Rascal Flatts. So, you know, very, very experienced guy. Been around a long time in the industry, and just called me up and said, this song will hit top 10 on adult contemporary radio. And I went, wow, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. On love's breeze, I'm sailing, I'm flying, knowing that you will catch me. When you started out in music, it's one thing to be compared to people, and you've been compared to people like Mary Chapin Carpenter and Jewel and that sort of thing. But when you were growing up and falling in love with music and recognizing your own talent as it was evolving, is that kind of where you went to, kind of an Americana country type thing? Or,
you know, Ken, I always did actually pretty pop rock stuff, and when I was like 16, I started playing keyboards for a band, because I've been playing keys since I was 5 and guitar probably since 5th grade. But anyway, I started playing keys for a band where all the guys were like 25, 26 in California. And, you know, it just, so I was really a player first, and then I played with a pretty popular Denver band, Cadillac Ranch. I had auditioned for them when their singer left the band, and started playing with them, and they were much more country, but country rock, you know, kind of stuff. And I guess that, you know, when I was alone on the road and stuff, just with my guitar, that I just started to write more country. But this record is a bit more, you know, I don't know, has a bit more pop flavor to it, and I'm starting to write for the next record, and I'm going to have, I told everybody, no ballads on the next record. Now my energy is really, you know, each album is a chapter in a writer's life, for sure. Mm-hmm. And, so starting to work on that, on the next one already. So
you were talking about playing music and at a very early age, and your evolution through this. At what point did it stop being a fun thing and a hobby thing and become a career thing? What was the change and the turning point about that?
You know, I think just following your own, I don't know, it's past the word of passion, because music always stays that, whether I was, you know, with this group or that group or touring or not, you know, that's always the same. But I don't know, it's so much fun that when it becomes a career thing, it still is that. It's just busier, you know? And I guess it's just, you know, what the soul says you're meant to do. And as you played and people really embraced the songs, because I went from, of course, at early age playing a lot of cover tunes in different bands, and I was telling Ken when we lost you, Ken too, I was telling him how I, you know, at 16 years of age playing keyboards with guys that were, you know, 25 years old in rock bands. So, you know, I guess it's just the process. You know, it'll become a career if that's what it's meant to do in its expansion, you know, of the creativity.
Yeah.
Well, it would seem to be working because, you know, we talked earlier about the radio play you're getting and a lot of the exposure you're getting. Has that changed, too? Are you finding a lot more awareness of your music out there? Are you getting a lot more response? Are you hearing yourself on the radio?
Yes, and as I explained, you know, with Urgency, it's opening so many avenues, you know, in the medical connection. I'm just having some really cool things happen with people all around the country. You know, I have a gal in San Diego. Her daughter has histiocytosis, and she used Breeze and Urgency on a video to raise public awareness and research for the disease, which right now there isn't any research money. So it's really done some really neat things that way, you know. And Breeze, I'm just getting ready to tour Hawaii, where Breeze did really, really well, and going to go out there middle of June.
Listening to some of the cuts off of this album, Urgency, and our listeners can hear some of this in the background, there's an eclectic thing going on with your songwriting. And I'll tell you what I mean. When I listen to something like Until I Met You, I'm reminded of the old standards, some of the tunes from maybe the 50s and 40s. That's kind of a departure from the other cuts on this album, would you say?
Absolutely.
Thought I was all grown up, my education through. But with the child's heart, I could not see the truth. I thought that fairy tales always should come true. I believe until I met you.
And it's funny you mentioned that because I was talking to, I don't know if you know the group, Big Head Todd and the Monsters. Mark Blisner is their manager, and I had gone out to lunch with him when I kind of had the rough mixes of the tunes in. And he heard Until I Met You and said, well, you know, do you really want to put that on this record? You know, maybe you should do it as a free download on your site. And, you know, there's something about when you have this huge financial commitment to putting together a project like this, that when you hear the word free download, you go, oh, you know, that doesn't, I don't know if that fits too well. So I basically sent out emails to my fans that have been fans for quite a long, long time, you know, kind of you have your grassroots level fans, and said, you know, what do you guys think? I mean, what do you want to hear? This is the songwriter's album. And sometimes I think we can get really caught up in, you know, the should be. Like, how should this project be? Mm-hmm. I mean, I even experienced that in the studio when I was producing it really for an Americana genre. And I'd start to get, you know, if something sounded really good, then we tend to go, oh, but that maybe isn't the trend, so let's not do that. And so sure. I really made a decision to go ahead and put that song on this record. And basically, I mean, I had so many requests for it live, and I thought, you know, these are the people that are going to be buying my music, are the ones that have been here beside me for so long. It'll bring the new listeners in also, but, you know, some people really, really liked that. It was different, and they just, I had lots of requests for the song, and I thought, well, you know, it needs to be on here. So I made the decision to go against the flow there.
Yeah.
Or actually it is.
Just play a quick game with me. I'll tick off some tracks. We'll play some of them in the background. And you tell me what you were thinking when you wrote it and, you know, maybe what inspired that particular tune, okay?
Okay, go.
The first one is Speak Your Mind, and it reminds me a lot of something Stevie Nicks would have done.
Yeah, I have been my whole life I'm such a communicator, and some people say, well, you know, you're too expressive. Sometimes that makes people uncomfortable. But Speak Your Mind is gosh, you know, what I was thinking is just that I just have that conviction in my soul, how important it is that everybody does that, and how different the world would be if we weren't all guessing what everybody else was thinking.
This is the moment of space and time, ticking away, now you decide. I won't be silent, won't be still. Something shouts deep in me, let it out, it's the only way to be. Speak your mind, it's the only way now. Take the time to let another know how. Speak your mind, it's the only way now.
Do it for love. Is there a personal story in there?
Yeah, you know, I went through a postpartum depression after my son was born, and then I had all the medical stuff on top of it, and just some days when it is really hard to get through the days, you know, you just feel, it's, when it rains, it pours, it seemed like a lot of things happened at once, and my very, very best friend said to me, you know, every day you just get up and you do it for love, and it was like, and I even actually dedicated that song to her on the album. So, that's kind of the foundation of everything. So that song really means a lot to me.
I took the long way and now it's clear where it was I was heading. I prayed for smiles, all I got was tears to show. I was bruised, my heart it bled. There was a day that I laid down instead. Why keep trying till this voice inside me grew and said, get up and do it for love. It may feel like you lose, but you win. What goes around comes back again.
And perhaps my favorite track on Urgency is this one, It's a Shame. And I think it's because the writing reminds me a lot of Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we kind of, it used to be, I wish you could have heard that before the song, because I played it, that one actually I wrote, oh my gosh, probably 5-6 years ago. It wasn't one of the newer ones, and we played it really, really, really country. And then when we recorded it in Nashville, it's like everybody sat around and they just kind of jammed on the song, and my producer said, let's give it this Louisiana, Cajun kind of just, the jam kind of song. So, that's funny that you say that. That's neat. You know, it's neat to hear different how people with their different perspectives on the tune.
Well, it's a shame that I know better. It's a shame you don't know more. It's a shame that you won't listen to what this talk is for. Well, it's a shame I can't love you the way that you want me to. Sure, you'll leave the lights on for me, but it scares you if I keep a key. Aren't you ever gonna learn you can't tame what's meant to be? Well, it's a shame that I know better. It's a shame you don't know more. It's a shame that you won't.
Now, I'd like to ask a little bit more about the writing process. You mentioned a lot of these life experiences that influenced and got you to write songs, some of the titles you mentioned. How spontaneous is that process? Do things just come to you kind of offhandedly when you never know it? Or is there a more structured approach sometimes for you?
I would say it's a mix. Definitely there is total spontaneity sometimes in songs that I feel like wow. I mean, I feel like I put them on the paper, but I feel like something else definitely was moving through me, because usually they're songs that I hardly ever do any editing to. Breeze is one of those. I mean, it just totally flowed out of me. Songs like Who Knows, what the last song on the album, which is just me and the cello and the piano, that are written. That one was written for my son. You know, total spontaneity with that, too. The Greatest Gift on the first record was one that I, when you asked me this question, that it really, really hits me of, you know, when do we sit down and really think hard to write, and when do we just let it flow through us. And I remember on that album being finished with everything, but I really wanted to put a song on there for my son. And I just had the major writer's block, so I was sitting down trying to write, and it was like, oh, and I told my producer on that one, was John Macy, and I said, John, I just, nothing's coming to me. And he said, well, you know, it will if it's supposed to. And I swear, it was like the day before we were going to mix, it, Greatest Gift came to me, and I never changed anything beginning to end on that song, and it was a gift, you know, it was a gift. Songs like Speak Your Mind on the latest album, that was more of one that I set and I worked on for a few days. I don't co-write with many people because I feel like my experiences with it is that it kind of changed my songs, you know, from the path I wanted them to go down. I'd be going, oh, no, now this is changing. This isn't really what I'm trying to say. So at least that's with this record, you know.
Sure.
The next one will be different, you know. This was, Urgency is a pretty personal album to me, so it felt good doing that, you know, by myself. Except for Do It For Love, I think I had Celeste Krenz in Nashville help me with that one, too. With just, she added, changed a few lines in it, and I went, oh, those are perfect. They're great.
What's on your personal to-do list? Something involving your own music that you've never done before that you really, really want to do?
Well, that's kind of come true with playing for the National Conference for Primary Immune Deficiencies in San Francisco. That was kind of a dream of mine when I wrote Urgency. So I'll be doing that in August. And that was a personal, it's just, you know, really a part of my soul from going through the diagnosis of my son and everything that I've gone through, is to be able to share this on that really broader, you know, broader view of, you know, that it's not just, my first record was really just, the goal was, you know, get as much radio as you can and tour as much as you can. And this, I feel like I can kind of sit back and let, you know, these songs go where exactly where they're supposed to go. And maybe that's just my wisdom of getting getting older through this business. But I think it does just have so much to do of where I was at when I created those songs, you know, and what I had gone through, because it's just such a hard thing to deal with chronic illness. And you know, they always say with great composers that it all comes out of the struggles and the heartaches. You write the, you know, best material, and boy, I can certainly say that.
Yeah.
And do you already have some material kind of stockpiled for the next one?
I don't know if it's stockpiled. I have a little 8-track board in my room. I actually, because sometimes I wake up and that's when I write, because I'm busy all day, and then I feel like then I rest, and then I'll get up and I'll write, you know, at 2 a.m. or whatever. So I don't know if it's stockpiled. I mean, a few ideas started. I've been really, really busy with this record. I'm kind of hoping in Hawaii when I tour that I'm going to go to Kauai for 3 days and not. I'm actually double venuing that tour with a Celtic artist, with Linda Hickman. So I'm hoping that I get a little downtime, and I'm going to take my notebook and see what happens. I'm writing the next album.
Thank you for spending some time with us here on Club Indie. You've been listening to an interview with Mary McCrae out there in Denver, Colorado, and she has taken the world by storm. And there's a whole bunch of people that listen only to adult contemporary radio that need to hear some of the other stuff you're putting out there, too, because really good stuff. And we're so happy you spent some time with us today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Great.
This is the moment in space and time. Ticking away, now you decide.
Well, on our way out the door, Club Indie, there goes the curtain with a thud.
Yeah.
And I hope you all managed to get your frozen margaritas. Tip your waiter, because we can't pay them. By the way, it's bring your own, you know.
By the way, that guy you gave the car keys to, sorry, we don't have valet parking.
Nope, we don't. Anyway, he's Ken.
And so is he.
And we do this every week. Well,
well,
but not in public.
And under duress.
But we'll see you next Monday at 2, that's 2, the number 2, kenscomedy.com. That's where you can find You Can't Make It Up. And until then...
Come on down to Newark.
The prison is deep inside of you. But freedom speaks, freedom calls.
Two Cans Comedy Club Indie is a Penguin Pods production.
Speak your mind. It's the only way now. Take the time to let another know how. Speak.